107.7 FM.
On our morning show today, we talk about the Richland Area Chamber of Commerce, and joining us is Vice President Craig Woodhouse. Terry Richards, a board member, is here as well in the studio as we look back at 2024 and look ahead with lots of optimism for 2025. So good morning to you, too. We appreciate you coming in today.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
It was a good year overall last year, wasn't it, Craig?
It was a great year. We had a great year last year. A lot of events that are coming into form. Some great attendance, at some of the major events. The big ones for us that stand out are the wine walks in the fall and the spring, and then the Taste of the Hills is really our celebratory event in June. And the Father's Day weekend. So put that on your calendars now for the Taste of the Hills. We're planning that, but that was a great event. We had just a lot of participation. I think 400 or 500, people. Some great music. Dan Lapine, who's kind of up and coming, and I've been talking to him, Phil. So maybe he'll come in someday for a morning show.
But he has a couple of new songs out too. So he's moving and grooving.
He is. He's moving up. He had a good Summerfest stage this past summer, right after he played here. So we're excited about him. And if you like 90s country, and he's got just that deep, baritone, just a real country music voice. So anyways, we were happy to bring him over here last year. But, in all, we're proud. We've got a number written down here, and the number is 5,000. It's a little bit of an estimate, but through those major events last year, we had over 5,000 participants attend. We'll talk about some of the other ones as well, but we're really proud of that. The community likes to come out for those events. It's a great way to celebrate the businesses, and the businesses certainly are central in all of those events, but it's just it's a great way for the community to come on out and meet your neighbors and make new friends. So we're really, really pleased. Everything went off really well with those events.
The night markets, Terry, they were successful as well, weren't they?
Yeah, we had some incredible vendors this year. Really creative retail displays. We had some amazing food trucks as well, especially that last one in September. I think we had some of the most amazing food choices we've ever had, and just had some really great energy with those. We have the music, we have the food, we have the shopping, and it's just a beautiful evening atmosphere that was how we envisioned it at the beginning when we designed it and decided to do that project, and it really seems to have come to fruition.
How often do you plan to have those in 2025 then?
We'll probably do another one July, August, and September, maybe one in June, but we do Taste of the Hills in June, so we kind of call that our night market for June, but yeah, July, August, September for sure.
For me, being a lifer, those kind of events, it's a little bit of a throwback, as you mentioned, Craig, where the community comes in and the businesses, and it's on a Friday night as well.
Yeah, we hear a lot, people like to reminisce about Friday nights downtown in Richland Center in years past, and as we know, things have changed, just the economics and dynamics of the community have changed, but we chose Friday to kind of pay homage to those Friday nights that people talk about when it was really busy downtown. And the events are held at the depot. That's where the tourism office is as well. So we're meeting actually next week to talk about that and see if we want to stay with that plan or look at a new location or something. So we'll determine some of those things next week. January is kind of our month for planning for the upcoming year. And it's just a lot of fun just to sit back and relax. And there's no admission fee. The music is free. You can just come and listen and visit and hang out. You can bring your wallet and, you know, and have a meal and enjoy the, you know, the music and, you know, do a little shopping and support some local entrepreneurs.
How far ahead do you book the music guests? Do you plan those out for
some? We try to get those for sure at least 6 to 9 months, even a year ahead, because uh-huh. it's, you know, maybe a couple of years ago they were like starving to go play somewhere, but now they're all tightly booked out. So the earlier the better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
And you've had some big names come through there as well, haven't you, Craig?
I think, you know, we've had some, I would say some local folks yeah. that are really, you know, have found their niche and they found their audience. I won't remember all of them here. Right. Maybe Terry will help me out.
Ann Christopher.
Yeah. Ann is always yep. a hit. She just reels those songs out one right after the other and got that great booming voice. And who else did we have, Terry?
I can't remember the name of the young fellow that's so amazing that everybody loves so much. Senior moment, sorry.
I'm putting you on the spot.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, but you know, we like to showcase those folks and give them that opportunity. It's kind of a low-risk opportunity for them. It's outside. It's casual. Yeah. You know, they've got the freedom to play what they want and maybe try out some things on an audience. So, you know, we'll continue to look for venues and opportunities for those musical entrepreneurs, as you know, we will call them. We want them to make, you know, be able to make a living, and you know, and so that the way to do that is support them and provide them a place to play.
For Taste of the Hills, you've had some established artists play there.
Yeah, we've had some really fun ones. You know, I was really excited about Dan Lapine last summer. I thought it was just he was very professional and put on a great show, and Kelly Long opened up for him, and
mm-hmm.
yeah, that night. And we've had the Sapsuckers in the past, and we had the band from Platteville, really good cover band last year. That'll come to the Wondos. Yeah,
yep.
Thanks, Terry. Yeah, see, we're getting there. Yeah, but no, they were great and a lot of energy. So again, we'll be talking next week about, you know, do we want to stick with this or maybe make a little bit of a change? But we certainly want to be talking with musicians now. They're booking for the summer, as Terry mentioned, and a lot of them will be booked up. So we like to try to bring in, you know, people that are, you know, maybe haven't played in Richland Center before, yep. but are from the general area, and give them that exposure. So, we'll keep working on that. That's never ending.
One of the biggest attended events, I think, Terry, if I'm not mistaken, was the Hispanic Heritage Day.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
It's a really great event. We had over 1,000 people that came to that event. So, and it's just a weekend of activity that, you know, I'm sure provides an economic boost for our community as well, and tourism dollars spent. But it's just a very active weekend with the soccer and everything that they do. So,
and that's a soccer tournament,
right?
Isn't it?
It is. It's actually kind of a semi-professional thing. They it's a league that's out of Janesville, Beloit, and then kind of Dubuque, you know, those towns, and these are, you know, adults that are playing these leagues, and they play for money, you know, so they put some money for the entry fee, and they come and play, and it's high level soccer, and I had some good feedback from some of the local high school kids, soccer team kids that came and watched, and they said this is good soccer. So that was great to see, and we had there was a lot of great food at that event as well. And so it's food, music, you know, a few vendors, and some, you know, just bring a lawn chair. Again, it's a free event. Just show up and bring a lawn chair and enjoy some soccer and you know, and some good food. So yeah, we're really looking forward to that one as well. It's only the second year we did that event, and certainly looking to renew that again.
As we look ahead to 2025, you mentioned you're going to have an upcoming meeting, kind of to go over things, Terry.
Yeah, so we're actually doing an offsite meeting next week. We did this. This will be our third year. So our first year we went to Toma. Last year we went to Hillsboro, and this year we're going to Spring Green. And it's kind of nice to actually get out of town and then focus together as a board, where we're actually talking through our vision and our mission statement, and then planning our goals and trying to really set, you know, kind of an evaluation of what we did last year and what has worked and what hasn't worked, and then looking forward to this next year, and then kind of giving ourselves our marching orders where we kind of establish what we're going to do, where we're going to put our energy and such.
Indeed. So it's kind of it's a working getaway.
Oh, it's
then.
Definitely. Oh, yes. It's like 5 hours of, board meeting, but not boring. It's it's a good board meeting.
I like strategic planning. Maybe I'm alone here, but it's exciting for me. It's kind of like the beginning of the school year. You know, you get excited for what's going to come up, and you've got plans, and you know, you're invested in those, and it's a great time just to throw out some kind of wacky ideas and talk about them as a group, and kind of it's an anything brainstorming session where anything is viable, you know. And so it's exciting for me, and I hope, you know, and the board as well, that we all get excited about what's next. And this is a good way to do it. And we do like to go to other communities when we do this, just because it's good to get a sense for what's going on around us, mm-hmm. and what's working in those communities and maybe what isn't. And you really start to see, you know, differences in the communities. We're all, by and large, you know, really similar, but there's different dynamics in every community around us. So it's good for the chamber board to really kind of evaluate and benchmark ourselves. Are we doing this well, or do we need to improve here or there? So we like that, to be able to get away for an afternoon and get to that work.
And it seems very intentional too. Like when you physically like put a little distance, it just seems like, okay, this is what we're here for. This is our focus. And we can kind of leave behind the things that we're dealing with, you know, day to day. And so it's just a nice way to get together. And we look forward to it every year.
Rejuvenate then.
Rejuvenate. Yes.
Awesome.
Yes. Awesome.
So you both are business owners and you're out in the public. So what's the most common thing somebody comes up to you and says, Craig, why can't we do this, or why can't we do that?
Wow. Yeah, that's a great question, Phil. And that's certainly one that we're going to be talking about next week. You know, I think that there's, there's some of the things that are kind of always the same. There's some things that we want more of, you know, in terms of retail. And that's mostly, you know, what we focus on, in service as well. You know, we've got some great assets here that do get forgotten, but how can we enhance those and make those even better? So some of the things that I hear, you know, are there's concerns and questions from the public, you know, things maybe just about like, you know, business hours, or can we do sidewalk sales again? Or what about these Friday nights? And so we take those all really seriously. I think that, the things that I hear, I think most are that, one, we have more restaurants downtown now than we had in years past. And we hear that. People do, the public appreciates that variety that we have downtown for dining options. I think that we do pretty well in our town here of some just really unique, retail establishments, and, provide service, and that's really the hallmark of our downtown businesses, is that level of service, because that's something that where we can compete with online commerce on, and we'll beat them, you know, at that game. I say that our downtown businesses and all the businesses in the county, really, we beat online commerce in delivery. And what I mean by that is some of the big ones out there that Amazon boast about next day or 2 day delivery. Well, I say in our downtown businesses, you get same day delivery, because you pay for it and you leave with it in your hand right now. So, e-commerce will never beat us at that game. And those are some of the things we look at, and we always are, we're concerned with, we want the downtown to be presentable and, have a good look and a good feel and a comfortable feel, which is why we hang over 50 flower baskets downtown and take care of them, from May into September.
And water them twice a day sometimes.
In those dry spells, they almost do need two waterings a day, but that's something that we do every every year, and that's you know, where some of the membership money and money from the wine walk and things like that go are to those flower baskets. We purchased them from the Ithaca FFA, and they've done a great job in getting us good, you know, baskets now for 2 years. They've done that, and so we purchased them from the support the Ithaca FFA. And you know, and we hang up, and they do take daily maintenance. So someone's got to be out there either early in the morning or late at night, you know, watering them, pruning, and making sure that none have fallen down or anything like that. So, you know, those are little things that we can do. And then along the way, you know, we try to encourage business owners and just the residents to do their part in, you know, everybody does a little bit of, you know, pulling weeds or cleaning up the sidewalks and things like that. It does make, it makes a big difference. Yeah. Planting flowers outside their businesses, things like that do make a difference. I know in my business, you know, I've got about 60% of the business is local, I would say Richland County residents, and about 40% are people from outside the area, people that might be visiting from the weekend and, you know, maybe from the urban areas, you know, in the Midwest or Madison or whatever. And they like that look and feel, and they like that slow pace of our downtown. So that's great to get feedback from people outside of the area. And I'm sure Terry gets that feedback as well.
A little bit with tourism. Yeah, definitely. We have a lot of people that visit and a lot of people who do come to our downtown on the weekend, and they'll even leave that in our reviews on our short-term rentals, you know, that they went to Christie's or they, you know, went to the record store. So we've had some really good feedback even for the visitors.
I didn't ask you, but what's the most common thing you hear as a board member?
Well,
from
you know,
people?
We've had a lot of people ask for chamber checks or on a platform for us to provide, you know, a gift certificate or something like that. And this has really been Craig's project for, what, 4 or 5 years?
Too many years.
And then Noah Kroc come along and kind of help, you know, come alongside you. And now we've kind of got the momentum and the checks are printed. And they're actually out in the community. And we're now, we've got a great group of businesses that are with those. We have J.J. Walsh Jewelry, Mastodon Records, AD German Warehouse, Christie's Sunnyside, Creative Layers Salon, Essential Wellness, Kelly Groves, Computer Doctors Take Some, Ridge and Valley Hospitality, Center Cinema, Starlight 14, Creative Outlet, Phoenix Center, You Matter Health and Wellness by Robin Matthews, Richland Locker, Wild Hills Winery, and Branding Iron Roadhouse all take the chamber checks right now. And they are out in the community, and they're a great great program.
I got one for Christmas, actually.
Yes, awesome.
There you go. Right. Burning a hole in my pocket.
I haven't seen that one come into the record store yet.
Well, maybe I'm going to spend it somewhere else. You never know, do you?
Yeah.
But, you know, all kidding aside, we talk about the uniqueness of this area. I know I had Phil Wallace on last week, and I've had Tony Johnson on a regular basis, but name a town, especially this size, that has an outdoor theater. They have a skating rink,
yeah,
a bowling alley,
yeah,
and then I'll even go as far as a bookstore and a record store.
Yeah.
I mean, that just doesn't happen, Craig. Yeah.
You don't see all of those amenities in a town of 5,000 anywhere. And I put that challenge out, too, as well, when I talk with people, you know, whether they're residents or from an their area, and again we'll put that out there as a real challenge. I want a listener out there this morning to tell us a town that has this size that has all of those amenities. I'm still waiting for that phone call. And so those are things we need to remind ourselves of, that you know, we live in one of the most beautiful towns anywhere. You know, and to have those, where we're really blessed that during, you know, changing times, that ownership was transferred and previous owners worked with new owners to keep the business going. And I, that's, you know, that's really a key. And that just shows the partnership and that commitment to, you know, those businesses. I think that that's really important to remind ourselves of, that those businesses in the past did get to a point, whether they got, you know, or were aging out of it or wanting to retire, and they worked hand in hand, and some of them still do. I know that happens with Tony and Bill, you know, Bill Muth, you know, with Starlight. He's helping them out and giving them advice and things like that. And You know, we have new owners at the Phoenix Center, relatively new owners at the Phoenix Center, and there's been a really good handoff there. That's cooperation in a community that doesn't always happen, you know, and it's important to remind ourselves that it really does take people working together to make those business transfers and keep them going. And, you know, we are really blessed with that.
And Terry, I know your business, you know, it's basically all out of town when you look at it, you know.
Well, actually, though, we do have a lot of family that's moved out and people who are visiting. So, like, over the holidays, we actually had a lot of, you know, community members who have moved on to other places coming back to celebrate with their families, staying in our cabins as well. So, and we've had a few funerals along the way or weddings where people have come and stayed in our cabins. And so, actually, in the last year, we've noticed that we have a lot of people kind of coming back and staying at our place.
So oh, that's awesome. But I know you do a great job of cross-promoting and telling people what we have to offer in the business community, don't you?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, every short-term rental has a guest book that talks about, you know, all the places to eat and all the places to go and the different things. So, yeah, we have guest books in each one of our short-term rental units. And it's just a way to kind of share our local things, our local restaurants with our guests.
Members of Greater Richland Area Chamber joining us here today, Terry Richards and Craig Woodhouse. You guys mentioned the chamber checks. Like I say, I was a recipient, but how can people get those? What's the best way?
Yeah, well, we are excited about the chamber checks. And really, to get more details about them, I'll encourage people to visit the Greater Richland Area Chamber website, which is rcchamber.org. Just rcchamber.org. And you can get some more information there. But we've been trying, as Terry mentioned, this is something that we tried several years ago and didn't really feel like, you know, it was a good fit. But we wanted to have community gift checks or gift cards. So we looked into gift card programs, and this would be something that you can purchase for someone else for a gift or for yourself, and then you could take it to certain businesses and use it essentially like cash. So it's basically a gift certificate, but it's good at, you know, several businesses, chamber members that are businesses, and there's a couple more that we forgot to mention. Los Amigos, La Frutinga, and Little Corner accept these as well. But so you can purchase these, and you can, you know, get them right from the website or from the chamber office. I think that we've got someone there in the afternoons mostly, so they can be purchased there, or you can stop in at Christie's Sunnyside.
Yeah, that's probably the best.
Yeah, you know, and talk to Christy, and I think she's got some of those. I think she's selling them right out of there, the shop there as well. But you can give them as a gift. They're, you know, redeemable at all of those businesses. But it's something that was actually a longer project than it should have been. But we really weren't happy with some of the services and some of the service fees that came along with these gift cards. So we looked into a MasterCard program, and at the end of the day, we ended up going back to the idea of using a check. And the reason for that is that we don't have interest fees. There's not fees from the purchaser, for the retailer or the consumer of the gift, and it works just like a check, just like any check would. It's made out to the recipient. Yeah. And then it's just looks like a regular personal check, and you take it into businesses and you apply it to your purchase and they accept those. The businesses will then process them just as they would
a
check. Just like they would as a regular check. So
how are they reimbursed then as a business? Then
they get the check.
Oh, I see. So it's actual money behind.
So they get a check and they'll make a deposit in their bank just like they would any check that they receive. So I'd say personally for me at my business, I actually like checks, and I think I've heard this a little bit. You can talk about trends a little bit here. Some of the fees and interest fees and things that are kind of tacked on with purchases and are getting kind of high for small purchases, and so we decided to go this route, and members had input on that, and they were happy with that way of doing it. You know, yeah, back to that. I actually like checks at my business because it's a good way to just, there's a record of the transaction clearly. And, you know, I just take it to the bank and deposit it. And, you know, so I tell people at my shop, sure, you know, if you have a checkbook, yeah, write a check. Let's keep that money to ourselves, those interest fees and whatnot. But we're excited about it. The program did launch, you know, before the holidays, and we had a couple large businesses that did purchase them for their employees as holiday gifts. So that's an influx of thousands of dollars into the community. And then it will encourage people to redeem them. So they're going to be going out to these businesses and using them. And we just think it's a good way to maybe renew interest in some of the retail establishments. It gets people out so they can find out what is going on at different locations. You know, there's a lot of studies that have shown that programs like this, community programs, really do increase, you know, that spending. And then those dollars that turn over in the community with local businesses, you know, the studies tell us that a dollar turns over 7 times within the community. So that's, you know, that's one way that we want to try to keep that money local. Again, when you have used the credit card or the debit card, usually those fees go to somewhere else. Yeah. They leave the community, and don't generally come back. So, it's just a good way to provide a little bit of a boost for the businesses and get people out to use them.
I know one of the things you'd like to encourage, Terry, is getting more people out to these events. That's probably one of the things the Chamber racks its brain about, is trying to light a fire under people to kind of get them out and get them motivated, isn't it?
Exactly. We've had some really great events, and turnout will be great. You know, we're pleased with the turnout, but there just seems like there could always be more, and it's a little frustrating at times when we put out a great event. It's got good food, it's got music, it's got, you know, all those things that should be firing on all cylinders, and it still seems like we fall short in attendance sometimes. And so it would be great to see a little more engagement. We've had 3 business after 5 events this last year that have been really good. We had one at Jamie Walsh's jewelry store just recently, and we had one at Mick Cosgrove's business, and then we had one at
Community First Bank,
and all 3 of them, the business put out a great spread of food, and it was a really great opportunity for folks to you know, meet up with each other and talk and share numbers and collaborate and such. And we had decent attendance, but it just seemed like we could even have more, you know, attendance at these things. And it'd be really nice to see businesses get a little more engaged, and be nice to see the community as well.
The after 5 events, are they open to the community, or is it just for businesses?
They are. And they do send out, like, all 3 of these businesses sent out handwritten personal invitations to a lot of people. So it was, the businesses went really all out for these events. And so, yeah.
And not only attendance, but you like to see people volunteer for the, you know, what are some ways that people could volunteer or help out with chamber events?
Well, we do have a couple openings on the board still, right?
Oh. Waterflowers.
Yeah,
waterflowers.
Yeah, waterflowers, always waterflowers. But we do have a variety of events that we do throughout the year that could always use more volunteers. Taste of the Hills, we could always use more volunteers, our wine walks and such. We have these events, and the board generally takes care of a lot of the big responsibility, you know, of the events, but it'd be nice to have just extra pair of hands, you know, come alongside us and help us at times. And so we would always welcome volunteers at any of our events. And if anybody wants to help out with something or an event, we would definitely take that, you know, and they can send us an email. It's probably the easiest way to get a hold of us. If you send that to info@rcchamber.org and let us know through email. And if you're interested in being a board member and you're a business member, business owner in town, and you want to be a board member, you can let us know because we're going to be talking about that next week. Do we have two positions open? Maybe one? One for sure. So we are looking for those that might be interested in that as well.
We'll have more from our morning show visit of yesterday coming up on Sunrise from the Center, but next up, a news update today.
Don't stress out. Call Century 21 Complete Service Realty, your friends in real estate. 647-6145.
Are you tired of paying rent and building someone else's equity? It's time to stop making your landlord's mortgage payment and start investing in your future. Divorce your landlord today and step into home ownership, whether it's your first home, dream home, or anything in between. The Schultz Mortgage Team is here to help you make that leap. Call us now, 608-738-8765, and see how easy it can be to own your own home. Why rent when you can own? The Schultz Mortgage Team, helping you say goodbye to renting and hello to your new home.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
Sports time, news time today at 6:30, sponsored by Bailey Paint and Decorating, your full-line Benjamin Moore dealer, with quality paint and expert advice, and by Chet's Feed, Seed, and Such, the friendly feed store. Partly cloudy and cool today, a high of 21. Tonight, a few clouds, a low of around 6. Tomorrow, 27, with maybe a dusting to a half inch of snow on Thursday night expected. Right now in Richland Center, it is 2 degrees.
Thinking about new window treatments for your home? Or how about a cordless upgrade to your current cellular pleated or wood blinds for a sleeker look? Stop in at Bailey Paint and Decorating today. Talk to Steve, Bailey's blind man. Steve will handle all the measuring and installation to take the stress out of fitting new blinds. Give your home a fresh new look with new window treatments and professional installation from Bailey Paint and Decorating on Court Street, downtown Richland Center.
I'm Phil Nee with a look at news. The FBI and the U.S. Marshals Service have joined local agencies in the search for 47-year-old Virgil Thew. Prosecutors have charged Thew for the shooting deaths of his girlfriend, 33-year-old Elizabeth Kolba, his 12-year-old stepdaughter, and the girl's 13-year-old friend. Thew was last seen January 1st on a trail cam just outside of New Lisbon. New Lisbon police say Thew should be considered armed and dangerous, and ask people to call 911 if they see him. The UW gets funding for vaping research. The study is a collaboration between the UW Health Preventative Cardiology Program and the UW Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention. It will examine the long-term effects on heart and lung health caused by vaping. The study team will recruit 400 participants, 21 and older, who have vaped regularly for a year or more and do not currently smoke. Researchers will then check in with participants over the course of the 3-year study to monitor their blood vessel, heart, and lung health. Funding for the study comes from the National Institutes of Health. People who complete the study will get up to $675 and individualized test results. At last night's Richland Center City Council meeting, the council approved the reclassification of the municipal services specialist from a limited-term position to a permanent position. Upon confirming Jason Glassbrenner's appointment as Public Works Director, in addition to his role of Economic Development Director, the Personnel Committee recognized the need for increased administrative support. To address this, the committee authorized the creation of a limited-term position to assist Director Glassbrenner in fulfilling his dual dual responsibilities. Darcy Perkins joined the City of Richland Center on October 21st as a limited-term employee, Municipal Services Specialist, reporting to Director Glassbrenner. Since joining the team, Perkins has made significant contributions across a wide range of projects, including collaborative drafting a hotel, seeking new grant opportunities, administering CDI and congressional grants, creating standard operating procedures, and more, and helping with tax collections and accounts payable. The council also made several decisions of selling old equipment and purchasing new. In 2010, the Parks and Grounds Department purchased a Zamboni ice resurfacer at the price of $15,195. The equipment has not been used in recent years and has been used very seldom overall. The Zamboni has been evaluated for sale. New, the equipment retails at $15,950, and the Zamboni company advised that the equipment should bring a good price as these machines are rarely found used. The Zamboni will be listed with Wisconsin Surplus. Also approved last night was a public outreach services contract with the Southwest Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission and two conditional use permits. One was to the Richland Hospital and Clinics to allow a pharmacy in the building and to the county for a communication structure on Tower Hill. Richland County Administrator Candace Pesch attended her final Board of Supervisors meeting last night. Her final day serving the county is today. Among the items confirmed at last night's meeting was to fill her position. At the county's request, County Clerk Derek Kalish was asked to serve as the interim administrator. The board approved Kalish to assume the interim position beginning on January 9th and terminating when a permanent administrator is appointed. During his service as interim County Administrator, Kalish will be paid a monthly salary of $11,146 for the interim. The board also appointed an assistant administrator. County Highway Commissioner Josh Elder has been appointed to this position. During his service as interim deputy county administrator, Elder shall be paid his normal monthly salary unless otherwise mutually agreed to by the parties. The board then approved to enter into a contract with Public Administration Associates in an amount not to exceed $22,750 for services provided in recruiting to fill the county administrator vacancy. And finally approved last night was a petition to the Secretary of Transportation for airport improvement aid at the Tri-County Airport. A man died after a UTV fell through the ice in central Wisconsin.
Marquette County deputies say a man on a UTV went through the ice on Lawrence Lake near Westfield on Monday. Rescue crews were able to pull the man from the water, but he died at the scene. The victim has not been named, pending notification of family. Deputies remind everyone the ice is still thin on many lakes and rivers, so keep vehicles off the ice until you're sure it can support the weight. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Over 60 groups are asking state lawmakers to restrict wake boats on Wisconsin lakes. The Wisconsin State Journal reports that the Coalition to Protect Wisconsin Lakes wants the legislature to enact stricter guidelines on wake boats. The large boats create heavy wakes, allowing people to surf behind them. Critics of the boats say they're damaging lake shorelines and harming wildlife. Proponents claim they can be operated safely, but the Coalition is asking for the boats to be banned on all but the largest Wisconsin lakes. A previous attempt at passing guidelines that was backed by boating groups died in the legislature last session. And at the Capitol, Republican lawmakers are fast-tracking a proposed amendment to the Wisconsin Constitution. It's already state law, but Republicans believe voter ID requires the protection of a constitutional amendment because other state laws have been ruled unconstitutional. The measure passed the previous session of the legislature and requires approval of both chambers and the new legislative session before going to voters. During a Tuesday hearing before the Senate Judiciary and Public Safety Committee, Milwaukee Democrat Senator LaTanya Johnson questioned the priority of voting on the language just one day after members were sworn in. Republican lawmakers are in a rush to get the proposed amendment on the statewide ballot in April. That Senate committee voted to send the measure to the full Senate for action on Wednesday. The State Assembly takes it up next week.
Hello, friends. Ellie here from Chet's. Are you looking for a place to get feed for all of your furry friends? Well, look no further. At Chet's Feed, Seed, and Such, we have premium feeds for cattle, hogs, horses, sheep, and even rabbits. We carry many of the best brands to keep your animals happy and healthy. We also have chicken, feed, and scratch. But don't worry, we still have our huge selection of premium cat and dog foods as well. Chet's is your one-stop shop for all of your animal feed needs. Stop down and chat with us today at 880 North Orange Street or give us a call at 608-647-8833. Without you, there wouldn't be us.
Partly cloudy and cool, a high of 21 today. Tonight, a few clouds and seasonably cold, a low of 6. Thursday, 27 and turning milder. Right now, WRCO, after a low of 0, our temperature is up to 2 degrees.
Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy are working hard to give you great service. The pharmacists and staff want you to feel good and to feel good about your pharmacy. You can trust Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy, where local people who know and care about you are always willing to take the time to answer your questions. Experience the difference, safety, and convenience at Boscobel Pharmacy and the Center Pharmacy on Orange Street in Richland Center.
Sports Time is sponsored by the Richland Hospital, specializing in rural health care since 1924, making a difference by caring, educating, and healing, and by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. We'll look back at the bountiful amount of scores from last night in high school sports. Details as well on a win for Marquette, a loss for the Badger women as well.
Around 7 million people in the U.S. donate blood yearly. These donors are doing what they can to support the 335 million strong population and are an essential asset to emergency hospital care across the country. This month, the Richland Hospital and Clinics is proud to recognize our community's donors and thank them for their contribution to the care we provide. If you would like to support your community by donating blood, contact the Richland Hospital and Clinics.
Last night in high school wrestling, a triangular at Ithaca, hosted by Ithaca Weston. It was Ithaca Weston winning against Galena, 46-24. River Valley defeated Galena, 51-12. And the final duel on the mat, River Valley 36, Ithaca Weston 33. I talked to co-head coach Troy Clary of Ithaca Weston about that matchup with the Blackhawks.
Final match, the score was, 33-30. And the match was... with Derek and Mason, it was tight up until that third period. Derek was trying to get some extra points to get the lead, and he just got himself in a little bit of trouble, and Mason capitalized on it. So that was a very good match at the end, River Valley pulled it out.
Yeah, the Weston will be in the Sauk Prairie tournament coming up this weekend. Riverdale won a girls' basketball nail-biter, 53-51 over Boscobel last night in Muscadet. The Chieftains led 24-20 at halftime, and both teams shared leads in the second half. Boscobel was up by 6 midway through the second half before Riverdale came back to take the lead for good and eventually hold off the Bulldogs in the end. Macy McKay led Riverdale with 19 points, 13 from the free throw line, and Zuri Dennis added 14. Including 6 for 6 from the line. Kennedy Cooey scored 11. Boscobel was paced by Kylie Johnson with 15. Aubrey Seep totaled 14. Riverdale won the JV game 61-25. The Chieftain varsity now 8-3 on the season, 3-3 in the SWAL. They will play at Southwestern Friday night. Boscobel is 2-7 overall, 0-6 in the league. They will play Iowa Grant on Friday. In other girls' games from the Swall, Cuba City 64-19 over Southwestern and Mineral Point 58-44 against Darlington. Richland Center lost to Mauston 69-38 in a non-conference game last evening. And in the Ridge and Valley, it was Ithaca over Lafarge Youth Initiative 55-36. A victory for DeSoto over Seneca 52-35. Kickapoo 40 and North Crawford 27. Royal beat Brookwood 47-30 in the Scenic Bluffs. Hillsboro 50-34 over Nisida. Luther 53-32 against Viroqua. Westby beat Black River Falls 62-40. It was a non-conference game won by Wazika Steuben over Highland 52-44, the final score. Stoughton beat Reedsburg 48-28. In boys basketball, an exciting one, won by Hillsboro over Viroqua, 56-53. Freshman Braun Jersley banked a deep three at the last second to send the game into overtime. Hillsboro goes on to win in double overtime last night in that 156-53. North Crawford got the win against Boscobel 81-38. Highland 84, Benton 42. Dodgeville over Evansville 72-54. A victory for Westby against Brookwood 67-37. DeSoto 67, Bangor 53. Reedsburg over Mauston 58-45. Waupun beat Wisconsin Dells 85-54. The Badger women lost to Washington last night 79-58. Chase Ross scored a career high 27 as number 7 Marquette rallied from a 14-point first half deficit to beat Georgetown 74-66. Stevie Mitchell added 13, David Joplin 12, and Cam Jones 11 for Marquette, which won its fifth straight. Frustrated in his attempt to enter the transfer portal, Badgers cornerback Xavier Lucas has hired a law firm to help him handle the situation. Lucas starred as a freshman and was counted on to start at the critical position next year. He says the Wisconsin football program has blocked his request, even though he has filled out all the paperwork. Heitner Legal of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, announced its retention on Tuesday. The Brewers are adding a quality starting pitcher to the rotation without actually making a move. Two-time All-Star Brandon Woodruff missed the 24 season as he recovered from a shoulder injury. When healthy, he is a legitimate ace. MLB.com reports Woodruff says he can't honestly answer the question of whether he will be available for opening day, but he says he's getting ready for it. The hard-throwing right-hander has a career earned run average of 3.05. That's an update on sports for this Wednesday morning. I'm Phil Nee.
A Kubota tractor will help you get all those jobs done fast and easy. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. Kubota is known for their high-quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors. They have hydrostatic transmissions, loaders, and three points. They offer great financing. You can go to our website where you can watch a short video where I go through the different sizes of Kubota tractors to fit your needs. Learn about the full line of Kubota tractors at Southern Wisconsin Tractor Experts, the Homesteader Store.
Members of Greater Richland Area Chamber joining us here today, Terry Richards and Craig Woodhouse. Looking at 2025, you're always open to maybe some new ideas and new events, aren't you, Craig?
We'd love to hear from the community and members. And as Terry mentioned, you know, the easiest way is to send us an email at info@rcchamber.org. If you have ideas for things you'd like to see, or if you'd like to help, you know, at a specific event, or you just want to inquire about it, feel free to drop us a line. You know, you can just talk to one of us directly. But you know, if you don't run into one of us, I'd encourage people to, you know, go to the Chamber website and there's a link to send us an email there. But yeah, you know, we do want to hear from the community, and we want that, you know, that direct feedback is how we operate. That really does what programs our year, you know, the businesses and the community telling us what they would like to see. Sometimes those ideas are viable and possible, and sometimes they're not, but we still want to hear them.
Right.
And we're open to trying, you know, a lot of different things. So, you know, as Terry mentioned, there's a number of ways to help out. It could be for half an hour at an event, or it could be several hours a month.
Yeah.
You know, it can be really at any level. Set up, tear down for, you know, the
bartending,
the big events. We're always kind of looking for, you know, a licensed bartender, you know, and things like that. Just stopping in at a chamber member business and, you know, talking to them.
And we're always looking for new member businesses too. So if you are a business and you want to join a chamber, you can contact us through that email and we can send you one of our membership packets, which kind of shows all of the benefits of membership, and you can join us. And then you could also maybe offer the chamber checks as well. So if you're a business that wants to be part of the chamber, we certainly welcome any inquiries on that as well.
Your wine walks have gone extremely well, haven't they?
They have.
Yeah, they have. We've had good attendance at the wine walks. It's, you know, people from here and people outside of the area as well. And we always, you know, that's a night that's, you know, where we get to kind of celebrate the downtown area. And, you know, it's interesting. Some of the things we hear at times are that, you know, there are a lot of events that are family focused in the community, and we've got a lot of things for the whole family, for the kids and grandparents and whatnot. We actually have gotten feedback that said, well, what about the adults? And by that I mean just something that is catered more, you know, for adults to have their night out with their friends and you know, and get to do what they want to. And so, yeah, it's a good way to just visit those businesses, you know, sample some local wines. We always have, you know, some local wines, you know, as part of that selection. And
let's be honest, they all just want to dress up, too. I mean, yeah, they really get into the costumes.
They do get in.
And they really enjoy the themes that have gone along with the wine walks.
Yeah.
I think.
So if you haven't gone before, all of the wine walks are themed. And we usually get some nice, you know, some creative costumes, and then just decorating also in the businesses. Yeah.
And the businesses have had games and different little activities, little photo booths. They just have a lot of fun with it and go all out.
Snacks and
a lot of big.
I think the only complaint I heard last year is there was too much food and too much wine almost, that people are like, no, this is, we just need, this is it. They're just happy. They have a lot. They have a lot to choose from. And we've had people say, well, I've gone to wine walks in other towns and people just don't put on a spread like you folks do. So,
And it culminated with a band, didn't it? Yeah. I think the one last spring did anyway, didn't it?
Yeah. In the spring, we had a little bit of a street dance at the end. We had a local band, Bald. Some of our listeners here are familiar with them. But they played, and you know, we had a, you know, yeah, street event at the end. And then in the fall, we moved that post wine walk music inside, and it was at the Phoenix Center. Yeah. And so that was a there was a good turnout for that. So again, it's just a different way to present things and a different way to get people out and you know, socializing. And that fall wine walk is I think
because of Center Color Fest, it's a big weekend.
It's a big weekend. It's part of Center Color Fest. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, again, it's a celebratory weekend. You know, that's kind of one of the key events.
As a small business owner, too, I think one of the biggest challenges is when you're open. You know, I think a lot of times people, you know, it's a different society than it used to be. And, you know, people who are working during the day or they work at night or whatever the case. And as a small business owner, I know you have an advantage because you kind of run your business. I know Daniel does as well. But when you're hiring people, that's a big challenge for a small business, isn't it?
It is a big challenge to figure that out in retail. Oh, boy, because it can swing. You know, there are patterns. I've had my retail business for a couple of years now, and there's things that I think are trends. And then I realize afterwards, no, that was just a seasonal trend, and then it will change again. So one of the things that I tried in my business is that about a year and a half ago, I decided to be open on Sundays, you know, heck or high water. We're going to be open on Sundays. And there were days where I had nobody come through the door. But I just, you know, decided to stick with it and then said, I've got to get that out there. And one of the reasons I decided to open on Sundays was because of all of the businesses that were not open on Sundays.
Yeah.
And I would prefer, you know, more businesses be open on Sunday afternoons, you know, but I thought I know there are people that are coming through that don't have a place to go and they want to stop, you know, and just spend a little time. Maybe it's on their way out of town or just, they just want to do, you know, something on a Sunday afternoon. So, for me at the record store, it's turned out to be a pretty good day. Now it's established. People know that I'm open on Sunday. It's 10:30 to 2:00, usually earlier and usually later than that, but, usually end up staying later. But, those are hours that I know, and some my customers that want to, you know, it's a quieter time, of course, and they'll come into the shop and, you know, and hang out. And then people will also drive by and see that we're open. Mm-hmm. And they'll come in and, you know, maybe buy a book, or they'll, you know, from Okooch Books and Libations, or they just like that it's a unique place. It's a unique thing, and it's something to do on a Sunday, especially in the winter. You know, come on down and take a browse through the records and the books. And, you know, I tell customers all the time, I truly don't care if they buy something or not. Mm-hmm. I just really, the reason I do what I do and put that time in is because I just really, it's a place to socialize, and it's a place to meet people, to
brings
talk
energy.
About. Yeah, it brings back energy. It's a little bit of a throwback, yep. You know, a bookstore yep. and record store yep. together. And they just really, really appreciate that atmosphere. And, you know, and I mean that. I'm happy to see people out and about and in there. And, you know, it's that's so plan to, you know, continue that at my business. But it is a challenge for businesses when you've got, you know, if you're paying staff and yeah. things like that, and you don't have the customers are base is low. What do you do? And it's a big challenge. It's a really big challenge. So I would just ask listeners to, you know, let the businesses that you go to know what you think about their hours.
Yeah.
They really do want to hear from you, even
right.
if it's news that they may not, you know, like mm-hmm. or whatever. Let them know, hey, would it be viable to be open on Thursday nights or Friday nights, or longer hours on Saturday, or you know, whatever
Sunday
that case
morning.
May be, or maybe Sunday mornings are a good fit. But
That's commonly something that I've heard too, especially like, let's say there's a parade in Richland Center and there are people down there. They're like, well, the businesses are closed. You know, I mean,
yeah.
those kind of things are things you have to consider, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Parades kind of change things up a little bit too. It makes it hard on the business owners because, you know, the parades are kind of the focus, and then there's that rush before and the
rush
after,
afterwards,
you
yeah.
know, and so that's a challenge in and of itself. But
mm-hmm. yeah, I guess I'm, you know, and it is a challenge, and there are times when maybe the public thinks that places would be busy, but they're not, you know, and mm-hmm. I would say, you know, I don't want to speak for all businesses here, but as Terry mentioned, sometimes there's a parade going on your business right there and right in front of your shop. The street's closed, mm-hmm. so there's no traffic.
Yeah.
There's no drive up traffic.
Right.
People are occupied with the
parade.
And I've sat inside of, you know, other businesses and you know, by myself and
yeah.
watched the parade go by.
Yeah.
Now, maybe that's different for food establishments.
Right.
Maybe you're
right.
going to get
yeah.
people, and maybe
yeah.
if you open the door and you have a special, you know,
yep.
that's a way to entice people to come in as well. But another thing that's, you know, that we kind of need to reckon with as a community are that our businesses also compete with those pop-up, I'll call them pop-up brat stands, food stands,
yeah.
fundraisers. That actually, you know, we're supportive of those things.
Yeah.
We support those causes and, you know, and I think the community does at large. But if you think about that, that's a nonprofit coming in and competing with a business at
yeah.
a potentially a peak time for that business.
Right.
It does take away from those businesses. Now, that's one way to think about it.
Right.
Another way to think about it is when there's more people around, there's more energy
yeah.
there's more opportunity, and there's more spending
choice.
Going on, and there's
yeah.
more choice. So that's something that, you know, you asked me before what we hear, and we do hear that from businesses, you know, especially the food establishments.
Mm-hmm.
They say, it's a prime Saturday and there's a lot of people downtown, but there's a brat stand on every corner.
Yeah.
And, you know, I took a loss that day.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, we really, really are. We're sensitive to that. We're supportive of all of these things. But, you know, I'll put this out there to some of the, you know, community service organizations to just kind of have that in mind, you know, when you're planning your event or planning your, you know, brat stand or whatever. You know, how can we work with businesses, maybe? And the businesses are at a disadvantage because there's when those things happen, then oftentimes it's donated ingredients,
right.
it's donated labor, it's you know, there's not rent involved, you know, so there's a lot of things that It's a dynamic situation. Let's put it that way. So I think the best way to work with it is talk to the businesses and just, you know, let them know, you know, that your service organization is planning something, and maybe there's, you know, ways to partner with them,
like a tie-in or something.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. But as I've said, it's easy to stand on the outside and say how somebody should run their business or their hours, you know, and things like that. So a lot of things sometimes that we don't take into account, I guess, as a merchant, you know, something.
Yeah, so. You know, and I'll just add to that, you know, and I when I talk with other businesses, one thing I tell them, especially new businesses, as I kind of remind them, if this model that you've set up, your business plan, if it provides stress for you or your family, then really reconsider that. Reconsider what you're able to achieve and what is going to work well for you. And you've got to adhere to that. And I think that if you, it can be a dangerous place to be for a business to overreach, to overspend or overinvest. And so, you know, that needs to be taken into account. And if it doesn't work for you and your family, it's not going to work for the business for the long run. You know, it won't. And so businesses will make decisions based on that, or, you know, they really have to. So it's always, you know, you want to hear from public and the public, and sometimes you can accommodate their request and sometimes you can't. But I think it's always best to tell them, and maybe they'll understand a little bit better why we can't be open on a Thursday night, or, you know, just some of the reasons that go into their thinking.
As I always say, and you mentioned Amazon earlier, and you don't see them on the back of T-shirts for your kid's soccer game or baseball team or anything like that. These merchants get hit a lot, so we need to not only thank them too.
We do, you know, and I'll take that opportunity now, Phil, you know, just to really thank all the businesses and all of the chamber members and the whole community, you know, that supports this and really believes it. And yes, we know that, you know, we at least once a week I'll have someone coming into my business, you know, and they're asking for a donation for whatever, a sports program or youth music program or something like that. And we always do whatever we can to help them out. But, you know, it's important to go back to those businesses and thank them for their support, to stop in. Let them know how your season went. They want to know. They actually are genuinely curious. If they've written a $20 check or a $500 check, they want to know how it's going.
You bet. We'll have you on for future shows and kind of highlight some more businesses this year. We look forward to that. So thanks a lot. Craig Woodhouse and Jerry Richards joining us from Greater Richland Area Chamber on today's morning show.